BBC News with Jerry Smith. The president of the group of countries that use the euro has given Greece until Friday to accept an extension to its current bailout programme. The Dutch finance minister, Jeroen Dijsselbloem, said that while there was some flexibility, the new Greek government had to honour existing agreements and not act unilaterally.
The general feeling in the Eurogroup is still that the best way forward would be for the Greek authorities to seek an extension of the programme. We simply need more time. And the best way for that is to, at this point, extend the current programme, which would then allow us a number of months to work on future arrangements.
The Greek finance minister, Yanis Varoufakis, said there were substantial differences, but he believed a deal could be reached.
I have no doubt that in the next few days, any notion of an ultimatum is going to be withdrawn, and in a spirit of collegiality, there will be. After all, what are we referring to? We're asking for a phrase that allows both sides an honourable means by which to commence the exploration for common ground.
Greece's banks and government need more money at the end of the month when the current programme expires. Andrew Walker explains.
The European bailout programme in Greece is due to expire at the end of the month, but the government's financial position is precarious. The new administration in Athens was elected on commitments to end many of the unpopular policies associated with the bailout and to negotiate a new agreement. But Eurozone finance ministers want Greece to extend the original programme while discussing amendments to it. If there's no new financial support after the end of the month, there are concerns about the financial position of both the Greek government and the country's banks.
Our economics correspondent, Andrew Walker. Tens of thousands of people have gathered in towns and cities across Denmark to commemorate the victims of the weekend's attacks in Copenhagen. The main event in the capital began with a minute's silence. The Prime Minister, Helle Thorning-Schmidt, told the meeting Denmark's answer to the atrocity was clear. When people try to split us, she said, we will only become more united. She expressed her gratitude to all who had attended, and for the messages of sympathy that had come from many parts of the world.
Thank you to you all, and also you who have travelled from abroad to join us tonight in this moment of commemoration. We feel that we are not alone.
Two people were killed in the attacks. The Swedish cartoonist Lars Vilks, who is the likely target of the first of last weekend's assaults, has had to leave home to live in an undisclosed location. World news from the BBC. The French and German leaders, together with the Ukrainian president, have expressed their concern about continuing fighting in eastern Ukraine and called for observers with the monitoring group the OSCE to be given free access. Neither the Ukrainian military nor the rebels say they will begin pulling their artillery back from the front lines at midnight local time, as is required under the truce. Our correspondent in Kiev is David Stern.
I think that the longer this lasts, the less likely we're going to see a peace plan. I mean, this peace plan has a number of hurdles, and each one is difficult in itself. So if they can't agree on the ceasefire, and then as we see, they're not agreeing on the artillery, that means a week from now, most likely, we'll either be seeing the same situation we saw in September, i.e. fighting but at a lower level, or we could be seeing further escalation.
Egypt says airstrikes on jihadist targets in neighbouring Libya will continue in coordination with the internationally recognised Libyan government. The operation follows the beheading of a group of Egyptian Copts by militants linked allied to Islamic State. The Yemeni rebel group that has seized control in the capital Sana'a has rejected a United Nations Security Council call for it to relinquish power. A statement from the rebels, who are Shia Muslims, known as the Houthis, said the UN should respect the will of the Yemeni people. The disgraced American cyclist Lance Armstrong has been ordered to pay $10 million after losing a dispute with a sports promotions company that worked with his team. The panel ruled that Armstrong used perjury and other wrongful conduct to secure millions of dollars of benefits from SCA Promotions. It had paid him bonuses for winning the Tour de France, but when one wasn't paid, Armstrong took SCA to court. He won that case after swearing he had not taken performance-enhancing drugs. He has subsequently recanted that statement and been stripped of his seven Tour titles. BBC News.